everyone, it's Anna Lane. Welcome to the Paper Airplane Podcast. This is the place where creators of all genres and styles come to share the stories behind their music. I hope you enjoy. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Paper Airplane. This week, I got to speak with Lizzie Cates, a country artist located right here in Nashville, Tennessee. We got to talk about a lot of different things, one of which being her most recent single, I Like the Way, which you can listen to right now on all streaming platforms. You can find a link to do so at lizziecatesmusic.com, which you can also find a link to all her social medias and ways to connect with her. So make sure you do that as well. I hope you enjoy our conversation. This is Lizzie Cates.
Well, my name is Lizzie Cates, and I am a country singer, songwriter in Nashville, Tennessee. I moved to Nashville about 3.5 years ago from Reno, Nevada. I grew up being completely obsessed with country music. Like, I had a lot of different influences in my life. You know, my mom listened to like 80s rock, 80s pop, a lot of 90s music. But country was always her favorite. So by default, it was my favorite. So I started writing songs when I was like 5. I put in quotation because it was just kind of like, I used to take nursery rhymes and kind of just rewrite them, you know? And I used to take like karaoke tracks and write lyrics to them because I didn't know how to play an instrument. So I put in quotation was writing songs. At the time, as a little kid, I thought that was writing songs. So, and then I got a guitar and taught myself how to play when I was about 12 or 13. Actually, I learned how to play guitar after I saw Taylor Swift open up for Brad Paisley. I had no idea who she was. My mom was a huge Brad Paisley fan. It was the first concert that I ever went to. And this girl, curly hair, comes out in cowboy boots in a sundress, and she's 16 years old. And we're kind of like near the front. And she just came out and she's like, I write songs about my life and boys. And I was like, oh my God, I do that. And so it was kind of like, it was awesome. And I went up and she gave me this like Romeo bracelet, but me being, you know, an 11-year-old, 12-year-old girl, she was like, and I'm standing there just like so infatuated with this whole, you know, she's got like her little, you know, headset microphone. I'm over here like, this is amazing. Never see this in country music, like other than like Garth Brooks, but you know, it's like found it so amazing. Yeah. So of course, and I begged my parents, I was like, please, 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 I need a guitar. And so we went and got me a guitar, and I had one lesson, and I showed up to my next lesson, and the person was like, yeah, this guy doesn't work anymore. He moved to LA. And I was like, oh, okay. So by then I, you know, thankfully YouTube started becoming a thing. And so I taught myself how to play that. And yeah, I played around Reno for a really long time, up until I was about 22 or 21 is when I first visited Nashville. I actually never been on a plane before. I'd never really done anything, and I went by myself, just like recording myself. And I was like, I have to be here. And so the following year, I was like, I'm just going to do it. And, you know, I had nothing but 2 suitcases and my guitar, had no car, nothing. I just flew. And I was like, I'm just going to do it. And yeah, and so here I am.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome that you're willing to just take the leap and, you know, do what had to be done to make your dreams happen. Was music kind of always what you were going after, or was there a moment where you're like, this is it, this is what I'm gonna do?
You know, I don't think that there was really, I mean, I had other things that I'm like potentially could possibly want to do, but music was always my go-to thing. I mean, like my kindergarten graduation, they had us all in like risers, and we got to go up to the microphone, we got to dress up what we wanted to be when we were older. And you know, I have a twin sister, which is insane. She looks nothing like me, but she wanted to be an archaeologist and study dinosaurs. But, you know, at the time she didn't know how to say that. So she wanted to be a dinosaur hunter, like to search for bones, dinosaur bones. And so she showed up in like this cute little vest, and she had like her little dinosaur stuffed animal. And I showed up wearing pink cowboy boots and like a sundress and being like, I want to be a country star. I want to be one of the Dixie Chicks. Like, just, I say it like I had an accent. I did not have an accent. But
writing is obviously, you know, a major part of what you do, and kind of seems to be a driving force of what got you into music. So how would you say your writing from your first song to now has evolved?
The one that it like sticks out to me the most was a song that I wrote called Speechless. I wrote in the eighth grade, and it was like right after I learned how to play guitar. And I'm pretty sure the song was only like, you know, two chords. But what I like about like thinking about this song is like, yeah, I've like matured a lot, but it still is like, I wrote it about this guy that I had a desperate crush on, like thought we were gonna get together forever. And the song was called Speechless. And, it was kind of like talking about how I want to be more than friends. Like we could be all these things, you know, if you just knew. And then I put his name in the song. I like put JJ, you leave me speechless. And it's like, like, you know, singing about this. Like to this, right, so it's on personal levels, just obviously I've grown up, so it's like I sing about more, I don't want to say like grown up things, but I've definitely matured a lot. But I think when it comes to the heart of writing and the storytelling and the subject matter of just like writing about my life, I think that's kind of, you know, always been there and been the same. But maturity and sound and you know, like things that, you know, like actually how I tell a story is obviously grown up with me. But yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So your most recent single, I Like the Way, which just debuted on CMT, by the way, which is really awesome. If you would just take me through that, kind of the process of how that happened and that the inspiration behind that song.
Wow. Well, this song has had a lot of time to kind of evolve and kind of become what it was. I wrote it a year ago. Yeah, we wrote it in about like September of last year. So it was kind of, it took a while. This song was really, really important to me because, you know, I put out my EP, Such a Mess. I kind of at that point wanted to just be a songwriter. And I kind of put that out into the world without like promoting it or kind of like being like, hey, I'm an artist, like listen to my music. It was more like people just asked like, oh, I want to hear some songs. And so I kind of just put it out there. And so I didn't really do a lot with it. And after I put that out, I realized I actually do want to be an artist. Like I like the idea of putting out music and telling your stories with through me rather than just other people and that record the songs that I write. And so I kind of went into hiding. Like that whole summer I didn't play anywhere. I didn't really do anything. I just kind of decided that I wanted to write. And I used to write with like, and I still do, but I used to write with like a ton of people. I mean, there was like probably more than 20 co-writers that I would write with on a regular basis. Wow. And so for this next, I wanted it to be very sonically, kind of like sonically cohesive, but just kind of like, I wanted to know what my sound was. And I kind of knew, but I was having a hard time you find your crew of who you write with and how you write really well with, just like for me, for my music. And I found this really small group of people and I narrowed it down. I probably have not more, like, I think I have only like 5 co-writers on this next project, which is awesome. But when we first wrote this song, it was kind of like just an idea that I had in my phone and I Like the Way I Like You and then dash New York City. Like I didn't know what it was going to be. I just knew that I was really obsessed with New York City and I knew that we were going to be going in October. And I don't know what it was, but something was just like pulling me in. I've always like loved New York City. Like I always had pictures of New York City all over my walls and all that stuff. And I had been once and it was just incredible. And so when I read that off, I was writing with 2 of the co-writers, Josh and Kate. They're a country duo named Hasting and Co. And so I read that off on my phone and Kate's like, we're writing that today. And I was just like, awesome. She's like, what do you want it to be about? And I was like, well, I don't know. Like I want it to be a love song, but I also wanted to like write just like being in New York City kind of song. And you know, at that time we were just kind of like, let's just like make it into a metaphor. Cause I feel like, you know, New York, like people move to New York every day to start over and it's keeps you guessing and you have to keep moving and it's awesome and it's terrifying at the same time. And it sometimes you'll find yourself in it and it's just, it's crazy. And then I was like, that's like a perfect comparison as to falling in love with somebody for the first time. Like you don't really know what's going to happen. It's kind of crazy, but it's also like awesome and you want to keep going with it. And that's kind of like how I felt being in New York. So we kind of like put that together. And when we first wrote it, it was so different. Oh my God. It was like, but like we wrote the first verse in the chorus and it was a very punk sounding song. It came back and I was just like, this isn't really what I was going for. think I want to kind of do that. Literally, like, the melody was the same, but it was just, we changed the guitar part and it completely clicked. And I was like, this is it. This is the sound I've always wanted. So this song is like so important to me just because it was like the beginning of, you know, changing my sonic sound. And I brought it to my all-time favorite producer now. Like, I've never worked so well with somebody before. His name is Robbie Archeris. I put him down as a co-writer because he kind of like, never worked with anybody. I had like all these guitar parts written. I actually wrote a lot of the guitar parts on this song with my voice, and he would be like, yep, got it. And then we recorded it. Like, most of the tracks that are on that song were in the original demo, including the vocals. Like, we just clicked and we did it all in one day in like 4 hours.
Wow.
It was awesome. Yeah. And then the next day, or the next month in October, I knew I was going to New York, and I was like, let's just film like a bunch of footage dancing around New York City. I'm like, I'm sure I'll release this at some point. So we just had a bunch of footage, and then we found out we had enough for a music video, and we decided to release it. I was supposed to release this song back in like April or May, but then of course everything shut down, and I was kind of like, I don't know if it's a good time. We kept pushing off, putting off, putting off, putting off. And I was like, you know what? No, I think it's time. And I think that we found a really good time to put it out, obviously. Because as you said, done so well. Like it went out into the world, and the love I got on it was absolutely ridiculous. And people were like, oh my God, this is like throwback Taylor Swift, but it sounds like you, and it's awesome. And I like, it's so incredible. And I was just like it was just the sound that I've always wanted. And it was kind of like the leading of this next project that I'm working on. And it went out on radio stations in Ireland. This guy like reached out to me and he's like, can I play it on my radio station? And I was like, yeah. And then like a lot of people kept asking me, who is that? Like, what's her name and all this stuff. And, you know, he's been trying to push, they've been trying to push like just new country artists in Ireland because, Ireland, they only want to hear what's like really popular, but he's been trying to push it. So when my song went out, he was like, I want to send it to everybody I know. Like, me as a kind of like a realistic kind of like perspective, I was like, it's not going to be that great. And he kind of said the same thing. And then every radio station picked it up. I mean, we're talking Ireland, the UK, Germany, Sweden, Thailand, just everywhere picked it up. And then less than 8 hours went number one on the iTunes country charts. And then literally a couple weeks later, CMT wanted to premiere it on their website. And I was just like, what is happening? It's so, I don't even know. It was just like a landslide of just amazing events, and I'm just so grateful.
Yeah, I mean, that's so exciting. How does that even happen? Does CMT just casually reach out and they're like, we like your song, or how does that work?
Well, I have a PR team, and they asked me, what are some things that you want to do? And I said, be on CMT has always been a thing of me. I used to watch the CMT countdown every weekend growing up. And so they reached out to them, and she was kind of like, my PR team, like, same thing. Like, I love having a team that's kind of like, let's not get too excited over something until we know it's going to happen, because I get really down because I get really excited, and it's great to have a team that kind of like, okay, let's be realistic about this. They're like, it's not a traditional music video. Like, it was kind of like just me dancing around, you know, and I was like, you're right. And then they came back and said that I had been on their radar just because of everything that's been happening. They're like, we love the song and we want to premiere the video. And I was just like, yes, like totally so excited. And the whole experience was great. Cause my PR person, Jill, she like was FaceTiming me, and I was like, why is she FaceTiming me right now? And I'm like in my pajamas, no makeup. My bun is like falling off my head. And I get on, she's like, oh my God, Lizzie, we got on CMT. And I was like, what? Like, we just like danced around. It was great.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you mentioned you are kind of in the works on a new project. Tell me a little bit about that and kind of where that's going.
Yeah, I thought that I had all the songs picked for this, and then quarantine happened, and then I wrote like 20 more songs. So we were at a pretty good spot. I've been demoing songs left and right. I already have the title of the next project. And we can actually go over that if you'd like. I actually dug into, I had my old phone and I charged and I found all my old voice memos of me writing this song. But the title of it, I already know just the whole feel of it. It's going to be a very metaphorical album. It's because I've always wanted to do that. Just very sonically cohesive, and I'm very excited about it. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't really know. Like, we've narrowed it down to probably about, I would say probably like 10 songs, and we're not really sure if we're doing a full album or an EP. So at this point, I think we're just going to demo all the songs and then kind of just play them and then try to figure out different, maybe track lists, and then we can kind of narrow it down from there. But I'm hoping to have it out by next. I know that I have one single coming out before the end of the year. Awesome. And then one will come out very, very early next year, just because we kind of ran out of time a little bit and we don't want to release during Christmas time. But yeah, so I know that we'll definitely have a lot of singles, just not really sure if it's going to be a full project yet.
Yeah, that's exciting. Tell me a little bit about your fans. What are they like? Would you say that there is a particular audience that you're trying to reach, or are you just going after, you know, anyone and everyone who can connect with your music?
Well, my fan group started because obviously like Taylor Swift fans are a huge, you know, they were a big, you know, influence on me, just because like I want my fans to be like what I am as a fan, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, and me, I'm a huge Taylor Swift fan, or like, you know, like that kind of thing. I actually, my whole like idea and like fan base started because back when 1989 came out, I found out that Taylor Swift was meeting people through Tumblr. And so I made a Taylor Swift Tumblr and I started posting videos of me singing her songs, and like people like freaked out over it. And, you know, and then I put out this song, it's called King of Hearts. It's insane. It's come a long way. I had to rewrite a lot of it, but, I put this song out and it literally blew up. I got over 50,000 followers, like within 2 nights. It was insane. Wow. And then like everybody show up, like, please, please, like, come play a show. I'm going to show up to your concert and have all my friends dress up as the cast from Alice in Wonderland, because this song is very Alice in Wonderland themed. And like people were like sending me messages. There was one person that really like blew me away. They were playing violin in school and they painted their violin red and wrote King of Hearts on the neck.
Wow.
It's insane. Like that started. And then obviously Tumblr kind of died down a little bit. I kind of like moved over to Instagram, and a lot of those fans still follow me and I'm so thankful. So now I'm kind of like trying to figure out what my fan base is. I feel like, judging by my algorithm on, like Spotify, people from the age like 13 to 27 is like my age group. So I think that it's really important to know. And so I'm just trying to like, I want to write like more mature songs, but at the same time, I don't want to go too mature, because as you see that age gap, you got to be very open to that. And so me and my team are actually doing something with on college campuses, because I think that would just be really smart, you know, like playing shows for clubs, or, you know, the clubs on campus, yeah, or just putting on a show. But it kind of like, it also boils down to, is that allowed right now? I don't really know, but definitely I would say that age bracket is kind of what I'm aiming for right now. So
yeah, I think that's a great idea, and it would definitely get you some more exposure to that particular age range, so that's exciting. I would love to hear some of that voice memo if you've got it right there.
So it's come a long way. When I first wrote it, it was supposed to be like Paramore meets like Taylor Swift. So when I wrote this song, like, I don't know if you saw on my Instagram, but I posted a picture of me with purple hair.
Yes, I did see that. It was incredible.
Just insane. I kind of wrote it about like a really quick, like just kind of like a relationship that's ended as fast as it started, but it was like so intense. And it was kind of like a thing where everybody's like, Lizzie, this guy is not good. This is not going to end great. I knew, yeah, it wasn't a matter if it was going to end. It was a matter of when it was going to end, and it was going to completely annihilate me. And it did when it ended. But, this was a phase. I wanted it to be really sinister sounding in the beginning. It was like, there was like this organ thing. I'll show you. It's yeah. It's so crazy. So that was a phase.
Yeah.
I originally wrote this song on the piano, and I was trying to find the voice memo of me playing it on the piano, but I like couldn't find it. And then we demoed it. I was going to play demo of it real quick. I'll show you the demo, just kind of like so you can hear kind of like melody wise it changed.
Yeah.
Kind of like a demo that I did in my bedroom. My heart is lost down in a low-down rabbit hole. Got lost in wanting. That's what made you look so strange but magical. You were dressed for a masquerade. So it was kind of of a mess. Yeah, so I kind of like let that die a little bit, but like every time I would put out new music, so I put out the Such a Mess EP, and everybody's like, when are you going to put this song out? And I was like, why can't you let this song die? Like, it's so old. I just don't. And so I kind of like sat down with one of my co-writers who I wrote my song Strangers with. And I was just like, can you help me fix whatever this is? Like, this is just a mess. That can you just help me fix it? And he helped me kind of like rework the melody a little bit. He's beautiful. Like, I'm just going to have to just show you his voice real quick. Sorry, I should have like switched this, but I don't know, his voice is great. Lots of hours of just us just hashing this song out. And then it ended up to this. This is what it sounds like now. It's so much better. yeah. Looking for my high and lost and found. When I fell down rabbit hole. And I got lost in wanting then. You took my hand, he spun me away.
I love that. It's crazy how it goes from the first one where it's like, you know, these heavy organs, and then to that we just heard. But is that kind of how a bit of your songwriting goes, where it's like you write something and then you end up kind of, you know, working on it and then kind of deconstructing it and reshaping it? Is that kind of a normal process for you, or was that kind of just unique to this song?
Yeah, I think it depends on the song. This is definitely the longest song that it took me to write, because like when I first wrote it, like I said, it was like on the piano and I wanted it to be like a sad song. So when I first wrote it, it was kind of very, very depressing, honestly. And then I kind of like, I mean, I literally had so many different versions of it, and I was like, I can't play you all of these versions, so many. But then it kind of turned into, I wanted it to be like, if it were to have played on a stage, I wanted it to sound like creepy and have like a big production. And like, I wanted there to be like Alice in Wonderland characters on stage. And I feel like you still can do that, but it sounded very bipolar. Like, I couldn't pick what genre I wanted to be in. And so when they told me that they wanted it, I kind of like, I was like, whatever, I'll just like deconstruct this and like, just, I mean, the lyrics were still there to make it a little bit more like I don't want to say radio, but a little bit more country, and like that's something that fits in what I'm doing now. And I kind of redid that. And Nate Teal, he was just like, "This sounds like a Max Martin track," and I was like, "Yes, that's what I was going for." And you know, at first I wouldn't play it, and then I finally played it out, and people were like, "You wrote that?" And I was like, "Yeah." And they're like, "Oh my god, that's like lyrically, that's like your strongest song." And I was like, "Why?" And then I was just like, it's the metaphor of it. Like, I feel like people love metaphors. And so that's when I decided to write a whole album based off metaphors then. That's what this next project is going to be. It's just going to be nothing but like very picturesque. It's going to be great.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm excited to hear the final project. I mean, it's going to be awesome. What would you say is your favorite song you've written and why?
I have so many. But I think my favorite song, Stranger, still holds a big part of my life. That was a song I released a couple years ago. I wrote it right before I moved out to Nashville. Just like the honesty in it and the vulnerability of it. It was the most honest song that I wrote. And so that's definitely one that is really important to me. There's a new song that I'm about to release called We Can't Be Friends. Yeah, I'm very excited. So that one's obviously, I think just because it's so new, it's probably like my favorite. But, and then there's another song I wrote called Armor that will also be on my next project. That's very metaphoric. And it's very vulnerable and just, I just love the whole imagery of it.
Yeah, that's exciting. I mean, you definitely have a very bright and exciting future ahead of you, and I'm excited to see where all this is going to take you. But thank you so much for coming on today. I really enjoyed talking with you and discussing, you know, your newest single and upcoming projects. But yeah, it was great to meet you. Thanks again. I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm excited. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed our conversation as much as I did. Lizzie is an amazing artist who I know has a lot of great things on the horizon for her, which you're going to want to stay up to date with, which you can do so at lizziekatesmusic.com. Again, lizziekatesmusic.com. There you will find links to her social medias, links to listen to her music, and a bunch of other stuff as well. So make sure to connect with her and check all that out. Also, you can follow Paper Airplane Podcast on Instagram. It's just at Paper Airplane Podcast, or you can follow my personal account @_AnnaLane to keep up with all things Paper Airplane. There's a lot of exciting things on the way, which I will not yet reveal, but trust me, new and exciting things. And yeah, exciting things are on the way is the bottom line. So stay up to date, listen to Lizzie's music, and have a great and wonderful, fantastic weekend.